Good evening. This is the meeting of the PNB Elections Committee on Monday, October 22nd. I'm the chair, Bob Lederer, and our secretary, Jane Gatewood, will now call the roll.
Andrea Turner? Anthony Seth?
Here.
Sasha Futron? Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Ken Aaron? Lydia Brazan?
Here.
Michael Novick? Fred Blair?
Present.
Nancy Sivaranarasamy? Teresa Allen?
Present.
Wesley Bassoon?
Here.
Bob Lederer?
Here.
Manasseh Saba?
Present.
Nia Bediako? What?
She couldn't come.
Carolyn Burden? Carolyn? I thought I heard her. Okay, Ivan Alfame? Jane Gatewood is here. Reverend Gold?
Present.
Thomas Porter? One moment. We have 10 members present. That's a quorum.
Thank you very much, Jane. Okay, so for those members who are by their computers, they'll see that I sent out a draft agenda that included all the pending business and continuing items, but there are several people who've said that they really would like to leave as soon as possible for to hear the debate, watch the debate. So I would suggest a few things that can be postponed or shortened. So if I can just give kind of a quick suggested revision, and then we can keep this as a record for next time as to what items need to be carried over. So I would say, can we postpone the minutes till next time? We do have to schedule our date. I think we could, hopefully we can do that within 5 minutes. The report from Terry plus time for Q&A. Terry, what do you think? 20 minutes, including Q&A?
You can make it 10 minutes. I don't have much to report, so.
Yeah, I think there may be questions. So, you know, well, why don't we start with, how about 15 and then see how it goes. Okay, the question of timing of listener candidate forums, that was an item that Nancy raised, and since she's not here unless she arrives, I don't know what that issue is. On the role of staff and candidate forums, I actually have a motion which I would like to bring because it's very time sensitive. The forums are coming soon. Then candidate access to voters' emails. Who just joined?
I was Ken. I got knocked off before.
Oh, hi, Ken. Okay. That was Nancy. And again, since she doesn't appear to be here, I think that can be held over. How to ensure quorum, that was Revelin's item. Are you okay with holding that over till the next meeting?
I'm definitely okay with that.
Okay. And then before we went on the stream, Terry told us that there's a new development on the question of whether to post the ballot images with PIN numbers after tabulation. So maybe, Terry, you could just mention that during your report, if that's okay?
Sure.
Terry? Okay. All right. So that's my proposed revised agenda, shortened agenda. Any other amendments?
Yes, this is Lydia.
Yes.
I think that given the fact that so many people are not on the call and so forth, that we should, and some will be leaving early, that we should not spend the time trying to figure out the date of the next meeting, that you put the question out to the full committee. And that we work it out on email.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. And so then my other thing is that I think, and I'm driving, so I'm not sure if it's already there, that Terry's report should come first because he may be able to answer a lot of questions that aren't that might affect anything else on the agenda.
Okay. Well, Terry's report actually is first. The only housekeeping before that was the committee meeting date. And the reason I'm hesitant to just leave it to email is on other committees I've been on, that's been a very difficult process to get enough people to respond so that you know that it's really a date that's going to fly. And we do have 10 or I think now 11 folks on the call. I think, you know, if we can just try to move quickly, perhaps we can leave it to after Terry's report.
Yes.
How about if we do it then?
After Terry's report, yeah. I see how many people are left. Okay.
Yeah. Hi, this is Andrea. I'm sorry. I won't be on the call. I'm on a real emergency, business at work here. So.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, I may try to join in, but.
Well, we're going to try to make it short tonight. Okay.
All right. Just wanted to give you a heads up on that, and please excuse me. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much. Okay. Any other proposed changes to this amended agenda?
No, let's pass it.
I'm sorry?
I said no, let's pass it. Let's say it's okay.
All right, so let's move forward then.
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Okay, so the first item is Terry Barishas's report.
Okay. All right. We've had a – we're proceeding. Things are going along. There's a lot of difficulties. One of them, and it's different at every station, we've been having a serious problem at most of the stations, not all of them, at getting candidate carts recorded. And it largely comes down to a significant number of candidates not being eager to record their carts. At some stations, we actually get the sense that candidates are intentionally canceling at the last minute, coming up with excuses, not responding to emails. It appears that at some stations it actually is organized perhaps as a way of delaying the commencement of candidate carts. We originally had the policy that we wanted to have statements from all candidates before we started airing them. And so at several stations we've had to just issue an ultimatum saying if you don't come in to record your cart by a certain deadline, we're just going to have an anonymous voice read your short statement that goes out with the mailing, and that will be your cart. Because the original idea is we wanted to have everybody have their cart, and so the voters have access to everybody, but then we didn't expect that there would be candidates who just didn't want to record carts. So we've had to change gears in midstream. At some stations, the carts are recorded, but at many stations, they haven't even half been recorded yet, which is, you know, stunning. So anyway, it's been an unexpected and serious problem. Another problem we have is a number of station staff lists we've been able to gather. We're going through the deduplicating process, Election Services Corporation. A lot of them don't have addresses. In other words, station staff and management said, yes, this person is an unpaid staff person. They've done all the hours they're required to do. They do this program regularly. Yes, they're an unpaid staff, but they only interact with the station through email and phone, and they don't have a postal address for the person. We can't disenfranchise them according to the bylaws simply because we don't have their postal address. So their numbers will count in the quorum calculation for staff, but we don't have a way of getting them a ballot. They will be able to once the election ballots have been mailed, there's a toll-free number people can call to say, I should have gotten a ballot, I didn't get one, please mail me one to Election Services Corporation, and they'll check with us to make sure that they're eligible and they can give an address. So we can, in theory, still get ballots to these people, but for a number of stations, particularly KPFK and KPFA are the ones that have the biggest address shortfall. There's not much we can do. There's been attempts to try and contact them. Some of them are not responding to emails and so on. The biggest problem we've had most recently today is getting money to Election Services Corporation to start the printing process. They are unwilling to print anything and spend the money on their end until they get the deposit, which is required in the contract. And repeated emails and phone call messages have gone unanswered. Finally, I threatened to quit today if they weren't paid, directive went to the person who writes the checks to say, right, cut the check. But it's been incredibly frustrating to try and constantly have this problem. I realize there's extenuating circumstances, which is the station is not rolling in cash. Cash flow is a serious problem, but it's hard to do the election when the contractor says, you know, we still haven't been paid. I believe that has been resolved. They haven't actually received the check yet, but everybody's very apologetic. They say, but I think it was intentional cash flow control rather than missing an email. The issue of pins on ballots, all the ballots obviously will have authentication numbers on them so that we know if it's a real ballot. But in some past elections where they were tallied by volunteers, by station people who might have an interest in the outcome of the election, as a way of verifying people's ballots were counted, they posted the images of the ballots with the pins online so people could look at their individual ballot. There's several problems with that, such as the violation of the secrecy of the ballot that allows people to prove how they voted and thus allows them to sell their vote and so on. So there's reasons why that's never done in public elections. But it arguably could be done in this election since there's no guarantee of a secret vote in the Pacifica bylaws. However, Election Services Corporation is unwilling to use that procedure because they pointed out that if they post the ballots online with a PIN number and a person says, that's my PIN number, this is my ballot, and it's true, they say, but that's not how I voted, then it's their word against Election Services Corporation, and this opens the opportunity for endless lawsuits. If anybody chose to challenge an election, they would have a perfect way of simply by lying about what their ballot looked like. And so Election Services Corporation is not, based on the past history of Pacifica, is not eager to open themselves up to lawsuits like that. So we're using what's called a trusted third-party election process, where I'm going to audit the election, but there will not be the same transparency as existed in the past, because that opens the door for vote buying and selling and also lawsuits. So we are using a trusted third-party election with an audit as our verification process. There's a lot of other things I could say, but in the interest of time, I think I'll stop my report right there and see if there's questions.
Before we open it up generally, can you tell us if you've been able to work? I know you have many things. Have you been able to work further on the complaint procedures that we passed a motion at the last meeting about?
Yeah, all the local election supervisors have a copy of the procedure. It basically follows along the same lines as what you suggested. It has not been posted online yet. Just there have been other priorities in terms of I've been verifying ballots and candidate booklets,
sure,
PDFs of them pretty constantly. And so we are basically using that procedure very similar to what you proposed, but it's not online. We're also trying to get an online complaint form so people go to the elections page. They can initiate a complaint right there, putting in the information of what date, who they heard it, where we can find an archive of the recording, if it was an audio, et cetera, et cetera. Otis thought he would take him about a week to get that online, so hopefully it'll happen soon.
Okay, and also just quickly, the tabulation location, can you just quickly?
It is going to be at their headquarters on Long Island. I forget the name of the town.
Ronkonkoma.
If the number of observers is large enough, they will move it to a hotel in town, but that's no additional charge. The decision by Summer to save costs anywhere she can was to do it at the lowest cost, which is at their town, rather than moving it to Manhattan, which would have costed, I think, around $1,500.
Okay, if I can
just... Oh, I also want to think about the tally.
Sure.
The tally will be done on 2 days. We're going to take one election at a time, one station at a time, so that on the 11th itself, which is the close date, all the the business reply mail is processed by their post office and put in P.O. boxes by 10:45 a.m. So at that point, there will be no more ballots arriving on the deadline date, so they can actually start the tally on the 11th. We have a, obviously, people know we have a tight deadline because we have to get the election certified by the 15th, according to the bylaws. So we're going to start the tally on the 11th. They will do another check at the P.O. box on the 12th to see if contrary to post office procedures, there actually are any stray ballots that were postmarked on the 11th that were in the box on the 11th or on the 12th, morning of the 12th. So we'll take one election at a time, open the envelopes for that election, tally it, finish it, seal those ballots away, and then open ballots for the second election and so on. So each station will only have, will do like the listener election and then the staff election for one station and then go on to the next. So people, if they do wish to observe, there will be a particular day on which they have to be there. They don't have to be there for 2 days to see both listener and staff will do all of one stations and then go on to the next station.
So the total, you think, will be 2 days?
They estimate it'll take 2 days to do all 10 elections.
Okay.
All right. This is Lydia.
Sure.
And then back.
Lydia, Ken, and then myself.
Hi,
and Revlin.
Revlin. Revlin, yes.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn Amistek, thank you.
And then Carol.
Point of
go
order,
yes.
Chair, you really should, you already spoke, so you should let other people go first.
I simply asked a question to follow up on what the committee passed last month. That's not speaking. So, Lydia, go ahead.
Given the what is the wording going to be on the ballot? Is it going to be a postmark date by or something
no.
saying mail your ballot by in order for it
on
to
the ballot
received?
It says your ballot must be received by Election Services Corporation by December 11th, 2012 for your vote to be counted. And that will be on the envelope and that's on the ballot. And
so you're just going to leave it up to the members to decide how long it'll take to get there?
Exactly. Basically, because we have the deadline of the 15th to get this certified, we cannot let postmark control because that means some ballots might not arrive for another 5 days after the postmark. So we can't have the postmark be in control.
No, but my question was, for example, at least on the website or something, can you say mail by...
Well, we'll encourage the public service announcements on air. We'll urge people to mail their ballot a week in advance if they can, but we're not going to.
Okay.
There's no actual mailing.
Right, requirement. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Ken?
Just three things. Terry, your solution for the lack of carts from certain candidates is, I think, exactly appropriate. I just want to make one comment that I believe the IED made a statement that the last motion from the election committee was like out of order and that you're in charge of whatever you do to handle complaints. But the other thing and the last thing I wanted to say was I understand that we don't want to the company doesn't want to be exposed to lawsuits. However, if there was a hash total, if like when I submit my ballot online or I submit my ballot and I add up and get some kind of a hash total, then that hash total can be generated by the election company. And that means, if the hash total is based on the way the person voted, then he could know that his vote wasn't altered. Do you understand generally what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, I understand. Most people will not understand what you mean, but I understand, especially with the ranked choice ballot, it's possible to come up with a nearly unique number for each ballot based on how the people ranked the candidates, and you could give the people that number. But that's not being planned. It's an innovative idea. It's something that could have been considered, but we're pretty much too far along in the process. I could look at that. I can talk with you about that. It might be something we can still do at this point, but it's not something I had considered.
Okay. That's
and I don't think it's worth the committee discussing it because it's kind of arcane.
No. I understand. I just wanted to bring it up for your attention, and I think you're doing a very good job.
Okay, Carolyn.
Thanks. First of all, I'm on the call. Sorry to have been late. I've been listening for a bit and looked at what's online, and I just thank Terry for a fantastic job. I'm really impressed with how this is going along. And the detail, the level of detail to which he's committed himself. So thank you for that, Terry.
That's all. Okay, Revelin?
Okay, I also wanted to take a quick second to thank you, and particularly because of our financial crunch. I'm sure that it could be much worse were you not aboard and able to talk to the other company whose name I forget right now, but thank you. I had a couple of things. Something came up at WPFW, and we did use the form that you had created, and it seemed to have either slowed it down or stopped the violation. So John is doing a good job there. John, our local inspection supervisor, and he's just waiting to see if the person involved actually takes the time to fill in the form. So I just wanted to let you know that it is, you know, it's sort of working. And also on the wording, on the 11th, the ballots have to be received by that time. Is there a, is it 11:59 at night? Is it 5 p.m.? You know.
Well, the ballots have to be received at a P.O. box in Long Island. And so the post office fills the business, does processes of the business reply mail that comes in by 10:45 a.m. that day. So there is no 11. I mean, I guess if someone drove their ballot to Long Island and brought it to the corporate headquarters, we might make some bizarre exception, but generally speaking, the assumption is all the ballots will be arriving by mail. They cannot be brought to the station or anything like that.
Okay. So they have to be received by mail. So if you put it in an envelope and sent it Federal Express or something to make sure it got there on time, then how does that affect it?
Yeah. Well, if Election Service Corporation has the ballot, if it's received it in some fashion, you know,
on that
by carrier pigeon or by whatever means, if they have the ballot, they can count it. If they don't have it by the time they start processing them, then, and you know, if they process an election and then a ballot shows up at 11:59 that night, someone knocks on their door and says, "Here's a ballot." We can add that ballot in, and we can doing the tally, quite frankly, once you have all the data, it takes 1 second to push the button and have the tally redone with an additional ballot.
Okay, because that's important. A lot of times people, you know, say, "Oh, I have until 5, I mean, working on grants and stuff, you know. Okay, all right, that's me. That's
Nancy, I'm
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nancy and then myself. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, I wanted to clarify. You said, Terry, you said by 10:45 a.m. in the postal box or by some other means like FedEx by what time at night?
Well, it's just a matter of, I mean, they're going to pick up the mail at the post office box when the post office is done delivering them. They will then start opening the envelopes and processing it. If someone somehow, by some other means, manages to get a ballot to Election Services Corporation before midnight, in some way, and they're able to receive the ballot, we can add that ballot into the tally and rerun the. We don't have to redo we don't have to start from scratch. We just have to add that one ballot in and push run on the computer, and the tally will be redone, and I can still audit it. So
people
it's assumed
FedEx,
that they will all arrive by mail, but I'm not saying it's impossible for someone to FedEx it or do something else.
So you're saying the FedEx people can get there later, like 1 minute before midnight on the 11th, but by postal office, it has to be in the postal box by 10:45. And you said you're going to check, is that right? You're going to check the box on the 12th to see if any are there, but they won't count because they're in the
they
box
will,
on the 12th?
If they're there on the morning of the 12th, if there are ballots there on the morning of the 12th that are postmarked before December 11th, the Election Service Corporation says, you know, we will have the option of adding them, and that will probably depend on, you know, if there's a station where, you know, we're like one ballot short of a quorum or something, we will, you know, scrape the mailbox to look for that extra ballot to try and reach quorum or something like that. But other than something like that, it's the ballots that they have in hand on the 11th. Not the 12th, that will be the ballots in the election. You know, as I said, there's you know, we have a little bit of wiggle room if we're desperate to reach a quorum, and we can almost do it if we count this ballot, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, and then the ballots that come to the station, where people mistakenly take it to the station, the Elias at KPFT said she's going to put everything in a FedEx and take it, you know. But don't you have some kind of information from FedEx or from the post office? What day is the preferred day deadline to be able to get it there by the 11th?
No, it's all geared towards using the postal office. I mean, the ballot arrives with a business reply envelope. It says to mail it. It says to use the ballot. It's the envelope over and over again. It talks about mailing it to Election Services Corporation. That appears on the ballot, on the envelope, on the return envelope, and in the letter. It would be a rare person.
Okay.
We're not set up.
I would like to be on the stage, please, manager.
Okay. Hold on, folks. Please don't interrupt each other. Go ahead, Terry.
So basically, we're not set up for receiving ballots by any other means. But if somebody, by some means, manages to get a ballot to Election Services Corporation on the 11th, we will count it. But we're only planning to receive ballots by mail that arrive at the P.O. box, because that's what all the instructions to all the voters say to do.
No, I meant, like, I asked the post office, how early do I need to mail something to get to New York?
Oh, okay.
By, you know, and then that's what I'm asking. And also FedEx, how early do they need to mail to get there by the 11th or before the 11th? And then what answer I got was, before Thanksgiving, you mail something, maybe you'll get it by Christmas or the end of the year. So I'm thinking, like, what, November, the week before Thanksgiving, or, you know.
No, by December 11th, most mail goes first. This is first-class mail. It's not a package. It's a first-class letter. Most of those go across the country in 2 to 3 days is the normal.
Even in Christmas time?
Well, this is between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but, I mean, you know, all we can do is say, you know, the public service announcements, try to mail your ballot early. On the outgoing envelope, it says, please reply promptly to make sure your ballot can help us reach our quorum.
Oh,
okay.
I think you could say more. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I was next, and then Manisha. A few questions. Well, first, Terry.
And Lydia, did you hear me?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. So I'll put you after Manisha. Let me just echo those who really thank you for your hard work under very difficult circumstances. So that's been really helpful. The ballots, are they being sent first class?
Yes, they are.
Okay. We've been hearing some complaints from listeners at WBAI who've been absolutely paid their membership in time for the September 13th deadline, but are getting what appears to be a mass email from management saying, your membership has lapsed. We hope you'll join us again. And they're very worried that they're not going to have the right to vote. They're not going to get a ballot. What would you suggest that those people do?
The Election Services Corporation is going to be setting up a toll-free help desk phone line. And we'll put a public service announcement on all the stations, assuming the stations cooperate, saying that if, you know, starting in early November after the ballots have been mailed, if you have not received the ballot and you think you're an eligible voter, call this toll-free number to get a replacement ballot. People will call Election Services Corporation and will field the calls. If the person is on the member list, and they have a postal address, then they'll send a replacement ballot and invalidate the first ballot that was mailed by striking that PIN as a valid number. If they say, oh, we have you on the list, but we didn't have a post office address, what's your post office address? They'll take that and they'll mail them a ballot. If they say, well, you're not on the list that was provided to us, they will refer those people to the local election supervisor, who will then investigate to try and find out why they are or are not on the list. And as with any election that's gone on in the past, sometimes there are people who say, well, I donated, here's my credit card statement, shows my and so on. They'll have to, if they're not on the member list and there's no record of them having donated, they'll have to provide evidence that they donated.
Okay, well, I guess just thank you for that. But my follow-up is, so then isn't there a way to proactively, since it eventually could come back to the LES if they find there's no record, could those people who are concerned about this contact the LES now and save some steps so that they can their ballot will be included in the first batch of ballots?
Well, the first thing they should do is contact the station and find out whether they're in the member list. The LESs don't really have time to, I mean, if a lot of people start contacting them about that and they don't, and the LESs, remember, don't have regular, easy, everyday access to MEMSIS. So what they have to do, what the LES has to do is ask the station, can you check to see whether this person's in the database? So it's better if they go to the station directly first. And if they're not in the database, they should first pursue it with the station staff. Like, I donated on such and such date. Can you check if you got the donation? So, because that's all the LES would do, is go, because all they can do is go and ask the station to check the data.
Okay, two more and then that's it. I wanted to see what you thought of an idea someone had of, in order to encourage more participation by voters who may not have, you know, cast their vote, to maybe post online, perhaps weekly, the quorum or the you know, progress towards quorum.
We could do something like that. There's a lot of interesting psychology studies about participation. It turns out that saying, nobody's sending in their ballots, we really need you to send in your ballot, please send in your ballot, is actually a counterproductive strategy, that people say, well, if nobody else is sending in their ballot, I'm not going to bother either. Whereas if you say to people, join all your friends and neighbors who are sending in their ballots, the psychology of it is that people tend, even though they don't think it works, it actually works better at getting people to send in. So sometimes putting up a thermometer of the rate might actually be counterproductive, and it's tricky to know. But I'm open to any sort of thing like that, but I'd want it to be grounded in somebody showing me evidence that that particular strategy actually works, because some common sense strategies actually backfire and hurt participation.
I understand.
I'm not saying that one does. I just
right.
don't know that it does work.
No, I understand what you're saying. Okay, last point is a comment rather than a question. I hear all the reasons for the location being kept in Ronkonkoma, you know, cost and so forth, but I think that that's a mistake, and certainly in future years, I think it's really crucial that whatever corporation is used, if it's this corporation or a different one, that the location be at a major, you know, at one of our five station areas where it's maximally possible for people to come without the rather long distance and the cost of it. It's rather high cost to travel from New York City to that part of Long Island, and so it'll just be a deterrent to people, some people who want to observe, from participating. All right, so next on the stack is Manisha.
And Sasha would like to get on the stack as well.
Sure.
Manisha?
Sure.
Yes. Hi. First, I wanted to thank Terry for wonderful work. Any communication I have had with you, you have been professional, efficient, and thank you so much for all you have done. And hearing you, I just really feel good about this election and how thorough and how educated you are about what's going, you know, the things that need to be done and be thorough. Thank you. I heard that somebody from a station want to collect the things and put it in collect the email, the ballots, and put it in an envelope and send it someplace. I think this is absolutely should be unacceptable. These people who are reading and they know where they have to send things, everybody should send their material, their ballots to the address that are given. The rest of it, I think negotiation and then, oh, why somebody cannot do it? That's the problem. If we put the bar so low, we are going to get a problem and we would have a lot of concerns later on. I think it should be set that everybody should send it to where they are being asked to send. And if there are people are living in California, send it a week early. That's it. And maybe their station can tell their people how is the mail with the, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything else. We cannot lower the ball at Pacifica and BA, whatever, Pacifica all the time in order to get to the lowest common denominator.
The only thing I'd say, that's my view too, except for this reality. I think EO did not was not aware necessarily when she said that, that we had a business reply envelope, free postage for all the voters with about, I'm not sure if she knew that or not, but the point is there could be a station where Election Services Corporation is going to be checking 2 weeks before the deadline, 1 week before the deadline to see how many ballots have been returned for each election. If we're aware that we're not going to reach quorum at some station, it might be that as a desperate last-ditch measure to get the ballots in on time, we might have a unique circumstance where the election supervisor locally is going to be asking people to bring the ballots, or she'll go and pick them up at their house or something like that. It's conceivable something like that could occur by the local election supervisor. We would not want anybody else, you know, just regular biased candidates picking up ballots or something like that. But there could be some unique circumstance that occurs just for the purpose of trying to assure we reach quorum. But that's not the plan. That's not the procedure that we're expecting to use.
Yeah, thank you so much, Terry. I understand that. I appreciate that. By the way, I'm happy that I don't know who was the person who said it, and I have very little knowledge or people who they are and what they are doing, only with like, the ideas that concerns me or the processes that are concerns me. So I didn't know who it was. I'm sorry. It was nothing personal. It was about the process. And I think I understand what you say, maybe what Bob was suggesting in terms of encouragement and the positive encouragement that you suggested, that type of thing, maybe, you know, a week or two, a week maybe before the ballot or deadline or something can be put in order to avoid any of this last minute problem and the quorum and all that. And actually for the quorum, there are other things being done. But my concern is that we should not lower the bar at this time. Thanks.
Okay, Sasha.
And then don't forget me after.
And then Lydia. And then we should try to move on. I want to keep it short. Sasha.